You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Thomas? You seem particularly triggered right now. Can you tell me what happened?
I've had dreams that weren't just dreams.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.
Hi.
Have we met?
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
Time to fly.
If you want the truth, Neo, you're going to have to follow me.
Hello! Welcome! Welcome to The Matrix. No. You know what? I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I was expecting Dion to talk. Quite frankly, this has all been a very worrying and emotional time.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Quinny. Should we start again? What if we reset this?
Yes, let's reset. Let's just reset the whole fucking thing. Let's start again from scratch.
Deja vu. Deja vu.
All over
Deja
again.
Vu.
Oh, God. Hello. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I am Mr. Quinn.
Oh, no. Hello, and I am Mr. Dion.
Your last name, is it?
I'm Peter, and I'm clearly not playing whatever you guys are playing down there.
Oh, what do you mean you're not playing what I like? I've just been taking all of these red pills all day, and I feel great. It's amazing.
Cool story, Chad.
Chad. Oh, wow. Dear. Cool story, right. Chad.
Yeah, great, good. Okay, I'm going to turn off the filter because, quite frankly, it's all just a little bit too stupid. So there.
Oh. You fucking asshole.
Like you weirdo. You're wearing dumb glasses. That's fucking stupid, Quinny. Why did you put on those stupid glasses? I'll turn. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Be cool like me.
Okay, right. I'll go back to my shitty GeoCities background. Yeah.
Mine's animated. I found it online for free. It changes color.
Like Christmas lights.
Oh, God.
So many visual gags. Today.
I know.
The listening audience is going to be thrilled.
I was going to say, to all of our fantastic podcast audio only audience, we're sorry.
We
thought that this would be hilarious for us.
It's working very well concordantly. Thank you, Peter.
Vis-a-vis special effects. You know what? Ergo.
Ergo vis-a-vis. It's working.
Yeah, yes.
You wrote your scripts.
I don't know. Will Ferrell wrote mine, but you know.
And AI is writing what I'm reading right now.
Yes, we ran the Periodic Table of Awesome through an AI, and this is what spat out the other end.
Yes.
That actually tracks.
It really does. I love it because both Peter and Jill are completely normal and, you know, doing shit as is completely normal. Meanwhile, Dion and Quinny are just like, I'm a program.
I know that Bren's like, these are better effects than in the movie.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, all right, let's be honest, it's not exactly hard.
Oh, that's better.
Save it for the review.
What movie? Because if you can't see you guys, you might not know yet still.
True. That is absolutely true. What are we talking about, Dion? What is the actual name of the film that we are reviewing this week?
This one is The Matrix 4 or The Matrix Resurrections, which we're kind of going, and I'm like, let it die.
Wow.
There is no need for recess, guys. Yeah. I mean, but that's just an easy, cheap gag, and that's not actually what I feel like. I'm not preloading anything here.
What are we talking about? I was going to say, you're sort of telling us, you're showing your hand before we played the game, Dion.
Sure. Well, what game? I'd rather play the Matrix game. Anyway, like, no, it's a terrible, like, this is a terrible idea. We're talking about the Matrix Resurrections, which is the sequel to the original trilogy of films that came out after the first Matrix came out, which redefined the idea of cyberpunk noir science fiction thriller thing.
Yes.
So it's the fourth movie in the series.
Absolutely. Mm. It's the
to lessen the confusion.
Yeah. Yeah. The Matrix 4, where everyone's a lot older or totally new. Better recasting than the Marvel Universe, that's all I've got to say. Like, if you want to see how shit works, it's just like, oh, wow, okay, cool.
Anyway. So before we dive in and I give you the synopsis of what the film is, I would like to know a little bit, would like to know a little bit of your history in terms of what you've had to do with The Matrix in the past. How many different versions of The Matrix have you been around for, Jill? How many of the other films have you watched?
I've been alive for all of them.
Okay. How many did you watch and give a shit about?
I know that I watched the first one. I have absolutely zero recollection if I watched 2 and 3, but I'm probably going to guess that I didn't watch them.
But that was the fight for Zion. How do you know unless you've gone to an underground orgy rave?
Actually, you know what? I think I probably did see the second one, but I really don't remember any of it. I watched the Animatrix, if that counts.
It does. Absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. It does absolutely count.
Yes. Okay, so Peter, what is your historical background with Le Matrix?
you shut that shit right down, Quinny, because there's no fucking Merovingian fucked up French accent in this podcast. I'm putting my foot down. No.
Oh, but come on. I really wanted to be the shit accent.
No. There is only one person who does a shit French accent on this podcast, and it's moi.
Outrageous. Okay, Pete,
please go on.
Yes. I saw the first movie. I loved the first movie. The first movie came at a time where I was just kind of starting to get interested in cool nerdy filmmaking shit, and there was some cool nerdy filmmaking shit done in the first movie, and also it's just, you know, a typical perfect hero's journey. Like, structurally it's a great film, and then I watched the second film then I thought that I didn't bother watching the third film, but then I watched a recap when it became obvious a few minutes into watching this one that I would need to know what had previously happened. And right. I recognised a bunch of shit that was apparently in the third film, so I must have watched it and erased it from my memory. So for me, The Matrix is The Matrix.
Okay.
I would not have watched this film if we weren't going to be talking about it.
I had
no excitement, no interest. Like, the original Matrix film for me is, like, great and, like, look, holds a bit of a special place.
Yeah. It was a peak cultural moment of its time.
Absolutely.
And I say of its time. We did not need to revisit it.
Well, it did kind of come at that perfect time where it was kind of enough to make you think, wait, are we in The Matrix?
Well, okay, it was a very interesting exploration of simulation theory, and it was the most populist attempt at explaining simulation theory to a broad audience, and that was pretty ballsy for 1997 or whatever the fuck it was.
Also, like, because it was made in Australia too, so...
It was. Yes. It was. I think at least the first two were made in Australia. I'm not sure about the third.
No, I'm pretty sure they were all made in Australia. So.
Yeah.
Oh, they did a lot of LA highway chase filming over there, but they still did a majority of it here, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually can't quite remember whether the third one got as much. Certainly the second one did. But yeah. No, anyway, it doesn't matter because it was kind of shit, let's be honest. The third one was definitely the moment where it really was no longer working.
Not the second one? The second one utterly stopped making sense.
All around having the twins as well, because it's like, it's the second one, so we got two people. I'm like,
twins. Yeah.
What do you mean? How do people not understand that the entire Matrix, like sequel parts, like 2 and 3, like Reloaded and Revolutions, is about Clayton Watson, the kid. He's the linchpin figure, and the one that was put okay, fine.
Yep.
Well, you see, there you go. You've totally forgotten about one of the main characters of those.
Yes.
Obviously.
Absolutely. And everyone just remembers the underground sweat orgy.
Yes.
Well, I love that thing too. They're like, we're finally going to get to see Zion, the human city, after the machines. And then everyone's like, I don't want to go there ever.
Yeah, they just, it smells.
It looked bad.
It is the city of B.O. and barbecue.
Yes. I bet you it smells a lot of patchouli down there. It's like sandalwood and patchouli is the smell of Zion.
And yet an awful lot of weird smells of like metal and oil as well, because all of these people still have their weird little metal plugs all over them.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they don't smell good. Anyway.
I mean, things that I haven't considered. I didn't lose interest because of the smell. I lost interest because it stopped making sense. It stopped making sense the second Neo had powers outside of the simulation. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's why he's Neo. How? That's why he's the one of many ones.
But Dion, but why?
But
and also, but how?
Oh, no. More importantly. She's evolving as a program.
Oh, no. Quick, cut it down. Cut down AI. Yeah. We're done. We're done.
Pull the plug on the PETA program. She's become dangerous. She's self-aware.
Oh, dear.
I guess you're right, like, because the first one is a perfectly self-contained film and it does everything it needs to do. It turns your hero into a superpowered, you know, demigod and destroys the big bad guy. And that's perfectly great. And then there's two other films where they go, he's not all powerful yet. And the bad guy needs to be, oh, and there's other bad guys. Oh, and there's some mech and city. Yes.
Well,
but the problem with the other two films is that he is overpowered. It's no longer interesting to watch when your main character can just do everything now. Like it's a bit boring when he can like fly and bring people back to life and just do whatever he wants to do.
But it looks fucking amazing. I love that scene in the second one where he just stands there and they'll shoot at him and he just fucking, like, you know, stops the bullets in midair and everyone's like, okay, you're obviously better than we thought. Fuck it. Like, that's kind of fun. I like that shit. And introduce new characters and got to see, you know, the human city of Zion and got to find more out about
it. See, okay, you're fascinated with the human city of Zion, and I like that was one fucking line in that first film.
Yeah.
Where they're like, there is a human city. That's all they fucking said. But then they spent two other movies going how important it is, and it's like, I don't care.
I mean,
go back to the Matrix where people wear cool clothes.
In the danger of stepping on Peter's toes, as we remember from a few podcasts ago, she is the industry. When filmmakers get a successful project and the distributors and everyone comes at them with dump trucks full of money and say, you're going to make more, and you're like, fuck, I haven't thought this through. You just make bad decisions, like The Hobbit.
Is there going to be a
That's
fish
how we get the
city
Hobbit trilogy.
In the next Puff documentary?
Yes, for sure. When it's so incredibly successful that they give us wheelbarrows full of money to make the Puff sequel. It's going to get weird, I'll tell you that, because we pretty Puff much reloaded. Exhausted what you can do with a fish in that hour.
Where the fuck is Puff's bullet time moment?
Even this one, like, okay, because I know we're getting a little bit caught up in the whole kind
you
of
think?
Previous trilogy, but I like the fact that this one is, I can't decide whether or not this film, like, that Resurrections is taking the piss of everything in the first three films, or it's trying to tie them together into a way that kind of makes a little bit more sense, or it's trying to do both. I'm not sure.
I would go for a third option of it's flogging a dead horse.
A resurrected dead horse.
A resurrected dead horse.
I think Dion's question was more about the intention than the actual result.
Yeah. We talk about the result in the spoiler section. I'm talking about what is this film trying to do apart from going down ye old nostalgia mine yet again?
Dion, should we do a synopsis? And can I have? I'd like to have some music behind my synopsis. You know,
when we think back to The Matrix, we think back to all those wonderful scenes shot around Sydney that we all recognize and go to all the time. But also, we think about it for all of the bangers that came out of there, especially because we needed to learn about techno punk and all that good shit.
Yes.
Also, did anyone have any shiny pants? Because I didn't. Totally didn't. No, I did. I had some shiny pants.
Find out if his reality is a physical or mental construct. Mr. Anderson, a.k.a. Neo, will have to choose to follow the White Rabbit once more. If he's learned anything, it's that choice, while an illusion is still the only way out of or into the Matrix. Neo already knows what he has to do, but what he doesn't yet know is vis-a-vis the Matrix, it is stronger and concordantly more secure. And even though he is irrevocably human, it is far more dangerous than ever vis-a-vis ever concordantly. If I have no fucking idea. What the
fuck is happening?
That just got instrumentally more confusing, just like the movie.
Yes, yes. That's my attempt to add some kind of bad Agent Smith thing. And I'm sorry to Hugo Weaving. I apologize. I feel very bad for doing that to your lovely accent. But also to Jonathan Groff. I would also like to apologize because apparently they're the same fucking character.
I would like to apologize spoilers. To Jonathan Groff for actually appearing in this movie.
There we are.
Okay. I would like to make a case not being too bitchy about this film, because there are lots of elements of it that I liked. So, for example, I like Jonathan Groff.
Yes.
Yes.
And I love Keanu Reeves. And I'm a fan of Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
There are some things that I like. Mm. There were some kind of humorous self-referential moments, which were interesting. There is sort of an interesting plot device where our reality and the Matrix reality kind of weirdly folds in on itself at some point. But confusing, but interesting. I haven't seen it done before. That, innovative storytelling.
Look, I appreciate.
Yes, I am grasping.
Yeah, well, look, I had a lot of fun with all those pieces about it. Like, when it started and it came, watching it, and it starts up and there's the Warner Brothers logo and the same sound, and then it dissolves into the thing, and I'm like, okay. And then it starts doing the same stuff, and then it becomes it goes meta straight away within the first 5 minutes. It's a meta story, and you're like, okay, no, I'm down. I'm going to do this. I'll get into all this sort of stuff. And then I think it became a little, The Architect was a very meta narrative from Reloaded. And this was just meta on meta on meta. And also trying to convince someone, I still don't know, is therapy good or bad? Should we be
taking... I'll tell you it's good.
We be taking medication or not? These are the sort of things, for someone that I was watching, it was is this an allegory for Scientology? And I was okay, you're getting some more out of it than I thought, but...
It's interesting because it was written by Lana Wachowski and not the two Wachowski sisters. What we're getting here is one half of the original creative team. And I feel there is a really interesting thing where maybe we're, some of the reasons that the original was so successful is because there was the tension between the two. But also, the original was such a huge trans allegory that both Lana and her sister, whose name I can't remember, unfortunately, have said, yes, it was very definitely, now that they have both transitioned. I feel like there was a lot that was trying to be said in that film that when you get to this film, it's like, what are you saying? What are we trying to say here?
Look, it did say one thing very definitively that I thought kind of corrected the record for the original series, but it's very spoilery, so I can't talk about it till later.
Right.
Okay, can I continue your metaphor, Quinny, by saying, did anyone read the original Red Dwarf books?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of them.
This makes perfect sense, Jill. I see your face. You're like, what are you going? Yeah. Where are you going for to this, Dion? This makes perfect sense. Well, the original Red Dwarf books were written by two authors together writing them. And then when they ended that story, they went and they did their own versions of how it should go. And it reminded me a lot of that. Like, they, you know, there's a certain kind of magic that happened when they were both working together. And then when they went their separate ways in writing the continuation of those stories, they both had very valid ideas and very interesting directions that they were taking it, but it felt like they were missing a certain point of it that was going through. So this is what this kind of feels a bit like to me, which is, oh, this is someone's version of what happened instead of the version of what happened. And I feel like almost I want to see Lily Wachowski's version. Like, I want to see The Matrix 4A. because
the addendum,
just like a bookend, you know, it's 4A and 4B, and it's just kind of like, oh, they both went like this. But you know, multiverse, we can do it, fuck it, you know, we're allowed to.
Yeah, I feel like when I said the tension between the two, I kind of mean that thing where somebody says to you at a certain point, maybe don't, you know. It's important to have that person. And I mean, we all look at Peter Jackson when he got to do King Kong, and he didn't have somebody going, hey, PJ, maybe don't.
Quinny, you've been telling me to stop doing things for years. I've just been ignoring you.
I know, but it's still important that I keep telling you.
it's true. I'd miss you if you were there going, steady on, buddy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A dumb
it's
idea.
Important. Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of what we see here, because there are so many elements in this, and the meta-narrative stuff is very, very funny, but there's elements of it that are really clanging. Like when they're talking about the Matrix as a video game, and, you know, there's the whole sequence where they're trying to focus group it. I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
It dropped it for me when they called the husband Chad.
And like, well, I wasn't even going to get to Chad yet.
It came up in the chat, and I was like, oh my God.
Chad and Tiffany? Are you fucking kidding me?
I think that's the one that pushed Jill off the treadmill of this film.
Yeah. That was my first reaction is when I was watching this last night, because I'm like, oh shit, we have to review it. I guess I'll watch it.
I'm so sorry.
I was
Jill.
Like, Tiffany and Chad, are you serious?
Yes.
Sorry, I like that Struity 4A with Hugo Weaving, Lawrence Fishburne, and none of the other original actors. I like that idea.
Yeah, all the other ones. That's actually quite funny. I would do that, because there are some actors that come back in, which I want to talk about in the spoilers, because there's a few ones that it's like absolutely 100% you're like, where's that actor? And other people come back in and you're like, I don't want that one. Why did you do that one? I don't want that one back. Give me another one.
It was one of those, somehow such and such came back.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I gotta point out that, like, the whole bit about, you know, the meta-ness of the opening, where it's like, oh, hey, you've been working on this video game your entire life called The Matrix, and everything you thought you knew about The Matrix was just your dream, and you made it into this video game. I was super confused, and I was like, wait, is that what the original Matrix was about? Like, fucking 20 years or more, like, I forgot. I was like, was it video games?
No.
I totally missed that. And then I kept watching, I'm like, Oh no, okay.
No.
This is why I Googled a recap before I
watched. How dare you?
So I was like, oh, I totally forgot that it was all video games that he was making. And I'm like, no, it wasn't, you idiot.
No.
The only thing that kind of broke that kind of meta idea, and I really liked that bit of it, that we get to see what's his name when it's not Neo, Thomas?
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson in this kind of new world that is ostensibly our world, where the Matrix is a fiction.
And a cultural touch point.
And a cultural touch point in the same way that it is. And I liked what they kind of drew out of that, but the one thing that broke it for me was this heavy lean into the bullet time thing, because I just couldn't, like...
Mm-hmm.
It broke it for me because, like, bullet time is what we call the camera technology that they used to capture those scenes in the first Matrix. And it broke for me that, like, bullet time is, like, a thing in this other universe where they're talking about the Matrix. Because I'm like, no, that's a thing from our world. That was a thing that we called something that they made the movie with. That wasn't out of the movie.
Yes, that was the moment where, like, that theoretical glass pane behind you shatters and the world crumbles down. I was like, they're referencing themselves.
I
was out.
They're referencing the filmmakers and the outside of the film audience rather than, you know, inventing a near world like ours. And it just, that broke that entire thing. And because the bullet time thing, it's not just a reference, it becomes like a thing.
Like,
and I'm like,
gimmick.
No. How do these characters know what bullet time is?
Because they all are self-aware. Did you not know that?
No, but it didn't, because that's something from our world, outside of the film's world. It broke
it
for me.
It broke the fourth wall.
You know what? I would have actually been more forgiving of it if they'd talked about The Matrix being a film series as opposed to a game series, because
for a game series.
No, well, you don't need, I mean, they put bullet time in games and stuff like that. It is a thing that has been put into games, but a la Max Payne. Thank you. That's druidic. But when you take the thing that you're using as your meta narrative, and then you change it just a bit, so it wasn't a movie, it's now a game, it's kind of like, well, all of the ideas that go with it don't necessarily fit. Mm. Like, games are about gameplay. They're not necessarily about this, you know, deep narrative and these characters and so forth.
But they did have games that that went to the movies to explain stuff. Like Matrix.
They did,
games.
And yeah,
like, there was do you remember in Reloaded where there were other ships where you had to do, like, that were there and became part of the final battle? In the games, you had, that was all about those other ships, so it gave you contextualization. I can see where
you're
coming
from. And the Animatrix was in another ship and stuff as well. But, like, because the Matrix itself, back in the 90s and early 2000s, was a cultural thing. Like, it was films, it was animation, it was games, it was comic books,
it was
toys. ARGs. It was its own, altered reality game and everything. It was all these things. But then when you say, okay, well, it was a game, to me, I was like, if you're going to fucking meta-narrative, say that it was a film, say that it was a cultural touchstone, and then throw them into and try and set it into our reality.
If it was a film, it would add a whole other layer to the story of, like, well, have I been acting the whole time?
Yes.
What is real life? What is me portraying a character? What is the Matrix?
Yeah. That, to me, I like, if you're going to go meta, fucking do it. Lean in. But as it was semi-meta.
It would have been really fun if Neo had just gone, are you Neil Patrick Harris? Like, in the movie, and then everyone would have been like...
Exactly, yeah.
My therapist looks like Neil Patrick Harris would have been a great little throwaway line. And then you're like, okay, fine, all bets are off. We can go with this.
Yeah. You
know. Like, it just, it felt like it was not backing itself all the way, and it was trying to have a bit each way. And I was like, fuck it, just, like, when they showed moments where they go into, you know, the Matrix again and they're showing parts of the original film, we all know that's a film, not a game. So we're seeing shots of Lawrence Fishburne and, you know, all those things, and we know it's a film. So yeah. There's a cognitive disconnect there between what we know and what we're seeing. And, you know, there's this whole thing about fucking modes and nodes and modal things.
Modal nodes. Where,
yes.
The it's a Star Wars nodes. Reference.
Gonk.
Oh, okay, fine.
Fine. You know, and we're in game territory, but then they recreate moments out of the film, but with different actors. And it's just like, fuck, what are you doing?
They're doing it in a modal to increase their ability for programs to evolve, and hence we get the recreate. Okay, fine.
Were they reskinning people in the Matrix?
Yeah, and how did they unlock that without paying? Like, you know, it's kind of like, I want the Morpheus skin. Well, you got to grind it out, kids.
Yeah. Here's the Morpheus we have at home.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you've got the free Morpheus skin. I see. Oh. Yeah, you've got to complete all of the challenges and play for 7 days before you can unlock the Lawrence Fishburne Morpheus skin.
Yeah.
I don't want to get like too deep into like confusing territory, but maybe that's a spoiler. I'll wait until the end.
I mean, there are a lot of questions that are probably spoilery. I have more questions than answers from this film. And, I mean, you know, the answers are ones that I didn't ask questions to begin with. So.
Sure. I mean,
yeah. You
know. All right, I got to try and remember to ask this.
Oh, well, okay. I'm keen to get into
it. Who did we like in the film? Did we like Neo / Mr. Anderson?
Sure.
We always like Neo.
Yeah. It's like, okay. You can't attack Keanu Reeves. No.
Yeah, he's like the nicest guy on the planet, apparently.
Yeah. Like,
okay. Did we like Tiffany?
I liked her song, I Think We're Alone Now. but, you know, I can't actually find fault with any of the cast that returned, apart from one, which will become very obvious in the future, like in that spoilery part. But, look, I think everyone did a really good job with what they were handed, and and there were some cast members that were in there that I'm like, I want to know more about this kind of thing. And there were other cast members that I was like, move on. I got a bit annoyed that the Smiths... Wait, not the Smiths. The
band.
Agents. Yeah. And Morrissey. Like, oh, man. Yeah. What's he done now? the agents that were around were boring this time. Like, I watched agents in this and saw them every time they appeared. I was like, fucking agents, whatever. They're useless now. I mean, they're supposed to be the attack dogs of the Matrix, and they're just pointless.
I loved the agents back in the first films because they'd show up and everybody'd be like, oh, fuck, everything's getting dangerous now.
Yeah.
Now, agents show up and nobody cares, but the big danger is just Matrix zombies.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck me, really?
Yeah.
That was the best you could come up with.
Cyber zombies, Quinny. Cyber zombies.
God. Like, I said to Dion earlier today, and he said it was harsh, but I was like... do you remember Independence Day? What was the sequel called?
Resurgence. I don't fucking know.
Resurgence. That's one. Do you remember Independence Day Resurgence?
I never watched Independence Day. I hated it.
How did you hate it and you never watched it?
Because I started watching it and I'm like, I hate it, and I turned it off. So I didn't.
Okay.
So no is the answer to your question.
Okay. Nobody does, because it was a piece of shit that was 20 years later and was intended to be a sequel to a massively successful thing that managed to not get many, if any, of the original cast back and do a story that was essentially completely fucking useless in comparison to the rest of it. Oh, wait. I was, when I saw that they were doing this, I thought, oh, God, please, God, let it be another Independence Day Resurgence. And that's exactly what this was to me.
They should have called it The Matrix Resurgence instead of Resurrection.
Well, they still can. We could do a sequel to this one and call it The Matrix Resurgence. And then we can do the sixth one and call it The Matrix Resuscitation.
The Matrix Defibrillation.
The Matrix Retirement.
Do we?
Do you guys think that there is enough in here for like real Matrix fans? Because I'm not like a Matrix fan. I loved the first movie and then I dropped off. Like the way that Ghostbusters that we talked about last week, we were like, is there too much fan service? Can there be too much fan service? Is this going to do anything for anyone?
Okay, here's a good comparison, because like the Ghostbusters sequel is 37 years after the original and did a fucking way better job than a 20 years later sequel did for The Matrix.
And I think the key thing with that is any fan service that is in Ghostbusters Afterlife is done with some kind of love and care. To me, this felt like, what can we get?
Yeah.
You know, who's available?
Yeah,
it was like, hey, Hugo, want to come back and do this movie? And he's like, fuck no. And they're like,
I think that's they couldn't fly. Like, come on,
God. If you could pick anybody else to play Agent Smith, I think Jonathan Groff was definitely at the bottom of my list. How do you have two Broadway stars in this movie and not a single musical number? I was like, no.
You leave my goth mum and dad alone.
Wow, that would have been amazing.
Okay, you leave my goth mum and dad alone. I wanted to see what happened to them when they growed up after they had their fun, freaky adventures in the 90s.
I'd be there for goth mum and dad, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If it's not obvious by now, I fucking hated this movie.
I was so frustrated with it.
Like the opening with these two perverts watching like a Trinity with a different skin on doing a thing, and I'm like, what is this stupid movie? And then it's like, oh, it's been a video game the whole time. And I'm like, was it? And then I was like, oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, no, I hate this movie. Yeah. I was so ready to bail, but I had to watch it. That's 2.5 hours I'm never getting back.
Oh, Jill,
this is not the first movie that I've wanted to walk away from either. But because we're reviewing it, I watched it.
Okay, that's fine. Jill's a red pillar. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh.
The sacrifices we make for you guys, honestly. Yeah. To be honest, I didn't care enough about it to like hate it with Venom.
A little bit
might have fallen asleep at some point and had to backtrack. I don't think there's a film. I just think we're all very tired at the moment.
It's true. Everyone's a lot exhausted. Like,
yeah.
Just by watching the news, everyone's kind of like,
in watching this movie. So I was waiting for it to do something cool to make me interested, and it did nothing.
No. There have been times that I really haven't wanted to watch something, and I've watched it because we were going to talk about it extremely reluctantly, and I've ended up having a great experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that story. I got the exact experience that I thought I would get out of this movie, to be honest. Like, I can't be mad at it because I liked it as much as I thought I would like it.
I got what I was afraid I was going to get out of this. Like, I was looking at it going, fuck, I really hope they don't. Oh, shit. Shit. They have.
Terrible people just being so unkind to this movie.
I got out of this movie, and then Dion, you can like bring it back up again, but I'm just going to tear it down a little bit more. Lazy script. Extremely phoned in acting.
Mm-hmm.
And cinematography so poor that they spliced half the movie with old footage. If I paid to go and see this movie, I'd want my money back.
I will say that there was quite a few moments in it where I was like, did we shoot this shit on video? Like,
what was up with Neil Patrick Harris's frame rate at the end?
I didn't understand it. Like, there are all these effects and shit that were put in.
So many effects that were so fucking bodgy and poorly executed that just did not make any sense to what was happening in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you?
I'm glad
then,
you
Jill?
Mentioned that Neil Patrick Harris thing, because I honestly thought, is my file corrupt? Is there something fucking wrong here?
Shh. You can't say we downloaded it.
Is my file from HBO Max corrupt?
Well, come on. Yeah. Okay, just give it a rating.
No. you're going to drag it back up into positive territory, yeah, Dion. Go on.
Look, you know, The Matrix Resurrections is look, it's a fun little aside into it. It almost felt like it was written by an AI, which is kind of meta in its own sense. You know, I got a few of the things that I wanted out of it, although I still like I have this weird nagging sensation that that Lana doesn't know who Neo is.
Maybe she didn't write that part in the first three movies.
Like, doesn't understand it, but had a really nice subtextual understanding that Trinity is actually, you know, the other half of it, or the greater half of the whole Matrix trilogy.
I like motorbikes.
That's Tiff. That's not Trinity. That's Tiff. Tiffany is a different character, you see. Trinity, we only got to really see Trinity at the end.
Tell me more, Chad.
Everyone else, it just felt really weird. And there were some some disappointing inclusions that had no particular reason. But there were some lovely expansions onto the world if you were into that sort of thing. Like understanding that it takes place in a timeline that is 20 to 30 years past the last Matrix film that we saw, and that the society on the planet has evolved to a different level.
It's like
60. Level. Yeah, something like that. Like whatever.
It was meant to be 60 years after 60 the years first after. One.
Okay, I thought, at least they kept the timeline going and that things had evolved. I mean, it's funny that they, I was waiting for them to keep pulling out the flip phone Nokia, like the clack phone and all that shit. If they kept that in for the bits where they were doing modals, I would have been like, absolutely, because that's what it was supposed to be doing. It's a little thing, but they had a little bit too modern, a bit too much of a modernist take on it. And it was just, you know, some good ideas, I think poor execution. And it just kind of, I'm not sure where to go with it.
It didn't feel modern enough. It felt like it was...
It's supposed to be hundreds of or a thousand years into the future or something like that. And they still don't have any versions of society that make it better than what we have.
If the original one was like so futuristic and edgy, how come if this is like... way, way, way into the future in their time, like the fashion has not evolved.
No, of course.
Like, I mean, they don't have much to work with, to be honest.
And like, and how about like, this is like 20 years later, this is where we see edgy futuristic fashion now. I wasn't seeing any of that.
Do you mean inside the Matrix or... Yeah. Or outside anywhere. Of it. I just feel like maybe that's because the machines that are programming it aren't very creative.
But also the people who get programming to program
it based
their own
on the world that was when they took over the world.
Yeah,
that's how I would answer it. See, there you can answer some questions.
Oh, you can worm your way out of anything.
Especially with this
I think we
movie.
Should probably rate this because I do want to. Oh. I think we've got a lot of shit to talk about in the spoiler section.
No doubt. I'll go straight ahead because I think I'm going to give it the highest rating out of everyone. But there were some great things that I actually had a fun time with. I want to go back and watch it again to see if it is just either as good or bad as I remember after the first watching.
I'm amazed you want to watch this again.
Well, I do. I think everyone was kind of giving it their all to try to have a bit of fun with it, even though it did look like Keanu Reeves was confused for the entire time.
He's like, wait, was it a video game?
Yeah. At some point it's like, you remember The Matrix? It was a video game. And like, he's like, okay, yeah, I remember that. We were doing a video game.
I'm pretty sure I remember being in that film.
Yeah.
But am I a programmer? Whoa.
I don't know why that I had not a bad time with it, but I'm going to go 65. I had a better than average experience, apparently. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I just don't have a hate on for it.
I'm a little bit with Dion in that, like, I can't bring myself to hate it because I don't have that much energy for it to like to give it hate. And you know, there were some, you know, elements of that meta stuff and that extreme self-referential stuff. I was like, if you had even just leaned into that a bit heavier and just gone like a little bit more quirky comedy with it, I actually might have like liked it. But there was, there's like a confusion between, well, what does it want to be? Does it want to be funny and self-referential, which it was in moments, or is it being like a serious take on the next bit of The Matrix? And they were the bits that I liked less. But I don't know. I can't bring myself to like super pan it because I wouldn't have like, I'm not a huge fan, and I wouldn't have watched it, and I'm not mad at it. It just exists. It's a thing that exists now. So I'm going to give it a 60.
It's like Betamax. You're not mad at it, but it's still
there. I'm not mad at it. I don't think there was nothing worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, shut up.
I mean, look, I did fall asleep halfway through it. Maybe I should give it a 58.
Are we take, sitting on 58?
Take 2 points off for the snooze fest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't want to. I've been much madder at things that we've talked about than I am at this.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. It's not necessarily mad making. It's just. Okay. Jill, do you have a numerical value for me?
I do. Look, I wish it had given me more than I think it was promising to give people. I think a lot of the stuff Peter mentioned, you know, the self-referential stuff, I felt like none of it was done with a wink and a nod, so I didn't find it humorous in the least. None of the action, there was nothing groundbreaking in any of the fights. It was all the same, I'm going to push it away again. Get away from me. I have shield powers. Get away.
Still can't fly.
I think the only other thing I hated as much as this movie that I have rated was Mortal Engines, and I gave that a 10. Ooh. So I am giving The Matrix Resurrections 9.
Wow. Oh,
wow. Wow.
Wow.
Because if I could have turned it off, I would have. Whoa. Whoa, indeed.
Oh
yeah,
that's a video.
That needs like a longer ooh. Like if you could just give that another 50 more oohs.
Holy shit!
Yeah, a bit of a stinker.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck. Okay. I really, really, really didn't like it. And I thought that it did the criminal thing of not just being worse than its prequels, but being kind of insulting to them.
I love Dion's face right now.
it's like harsh. Like I'm just totally at the other end of the spectrum going, not bad. And everyone's like, that was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh, have I been walking around in shit? And not noticing?
What's that smell?
Yeah. What the fuck is like this? when you've got a film that changed the face of filmmaking.
Yes.
Like when you've got something that did something so fucking groundbreaking that it got its own name. It changed the way that games were made. It changed the way that we thought about action sequences. It changed the way that we talked about, you know, anime being used in live action. It fucking totally changed the face of cinema. Yeah, and then you get two. It rewrote the book. Then you get two kind of shitty sequels that were at least still trying something. And then 20 years later, you come back and do something that is insulting to it. Meta narrative that doesn't lean in hard enough on meta, and a thing that doesn't like. Even managed to get half the cast back, but still kind of goes, oh yeah, but that they are that cast kind of sort of shut up, just watch it and smile. You know, you've got a character in there called Bugs who is all about being the fucking white rabbit, same character as the original thing. And I was like, that's not funny. It's not clever. It's just, and it was on the nose. So for me, it's 25. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
More eloquent hate on than mine. Thank you, Quinny. I like it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, as I said, it's resurgence all over again.
I want to go for a clip, but also it doesn't really matter what fucking clip I could go. I could just play anything.
Hey, if you played something from the original movie, it would still fit. Because they did that in this movie.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. No.
give us original classic bullet time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna dare you.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll go to that. We'll go to a clip, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more in the spoilery session. So I've got a couple of things here. What can I play? We'll look at this deleted scene from The Matrix Resurrections. And,
is it deleted scene?
Yeah, okay.
Trenton for package of sunshine and ravioli.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best yes. cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
A deja vu is usually a glitch in the Matrix.
One pill makes you love.
It happens when they change something.
And one pill makes you smart.
It happens when they change something.
And the one's mother gives.
It happens when they change something.
When she's 10 feet.
It happens when they
Why use old code to mirror something new?
Maybe this isn't the story we think it is.
Always when we're least expecting it.
Oh, I've seen those reacts in the chat.
Yeah. So much elf. So much elf.
Fuck you all for hating Matrix.
Okay. So my question is if Neo was asleep.
Oh, wait, the spoiler thing. Hang on.
And like in the pod thing.
Yeah, spoiler.
Isn't that the Matrix?
Yes.
Wait, what?
So how does he get into the Matrix when he's already in the Matrix?
Wait, when?
Sorry.
Wait, what?
Okay, so like the whole start of the movie, right? They're all like, you have to come back to the Matrix. But he's been in there the whole time. He's been in one of those pods.
Did I say you have to come back to the Matrix?
No. That he's got to get out of, no. They're not asking him to come back to the Matrix. He's in the Matrix. They're asking him to come back to being not in the Matrix.
But is he in the Matrix or is he in a modal of the Matrix?
So the Matrix is the fake world?
No, the modal was the world that Bugs discovers Morpheus in.
Yeah.
What's that?
So the modals were like...
But isn't that part of the Matrix?
They were
Wait, is in the computer?
What is the Matrix?
How the files are in the computer.
Wait. Okay. Is there a real world?
No. Yes. Okay. So
well, yes.
Okay. So Jill hasn't watched the original for quite some time.
The real world.
The real world is where the people are in the pods with like.
Oh.
Yeah. And
so
and the Matrix
he was
is the
unconscious in the pod.
Yes.
His brain is somewhere.
Yes.
What's yes. The so the so they keep people in the pods, simulating that they're in the Matrix, and that's how like the machines get their power, right?
Yes. Why are they like you gotta come? It's like he's already there.
No. He's gotta not be in there so that he can like fight the machines and liberate humankind.
Again.
Yeah.
Look, I mean there was a giant
So wait,
like,
the whole start of the movie is them trying to wake him up?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a giant machine manta like spirit animal that was there. For some fucking reason they reintroduced Niobe in the worst makeup I have ever seen for an aged human.
Oh fuck me. So we're talking about Niobe now, are we?
Fuck you, it's spoiler time. We're all out.
Can I like bitch about fucking Priyanka Chopra as well? Like saying, hey, remember this rando kid from that one scene that you honestly don't remember because
that's
here's
me.
The footage? And it's like, yes, and now I am this woman and I my dad built this thing. I'm like, oh fuck, I don't care.
Yes, you do. I mean, where were they supposed to go after they did that fight scene where there was just lots and lots of Smiths and they included things like a bowling ball sound effect? Remember that? That was in Matrix Reloaded. At least they brought back the Merovingian.
Gags in this movie.
I mean, yeah, look, like this is where the more questions than answers bit comes in. But I've got to say that the one thing that I did appreciate about this film that I couldn't say before because it is spoilery, and that's that they like corrected the record of the very special boy, because it turns out that Neo wasn't the one.
He's not the Messiah. He's
and a very Trinity. Naughty
boy. Yeah.
And I kind of appreciate it, particularly given that the red pill thing has been co-opted by alt-right incel-type characters.
By Tiffany's and Chad's.
By Tiffany's and Chad's. I kind of appreciated having a film where they go, actually, you know what, that entire time, Neo wasn't the one.
And I knew it at the time. I was like, I don't think I'm the one. No, you weren't.
Yeah, you were not.
You were half the one. Yes. Also, that does kind of bug me because her name's Trinity. So technically, it probably should be fucking three.
The third one is the baby they had.
What baby?
I don't know. Fuck it.
There is no
baby. All bets are off, Quinny. There's a baby. I wrote it. It's just happening.
The other character is the Matrix itself, you guys.
The third character are the friends we made along the way. Like, literally, made them with code.
I love the fact that, and I'm sorry that I said it earlier, that Jonathan Groff is the resurrection, the reintegration of...
The
reskinned. Reskinned Smith. Agent Smith. But I love that Groff makes no attempt whatsoever to act anything like the original actor. Like, doesn't attempt the accent, doesn't attempt any of the fucking attitudes or... Nope. And it's just like, yes, I'm Jonathan Groff wearing some blue sunglasses. Or sunglasses.
I love that he even screams Mr. Anderson at one point. And yeah, it sounds nothing like Hugo Weaving. Like, not even just an inflection or an intonation or like... It's kind of like someone said to Jonathan Groff, is like, hey, you watched The Matrix, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, totally. He'd never seen it. And then, like, want to be in the film? He's like, oh, I loved it. Yeah, I'll be in it. And then it's like, you're playing Agent Smith. He was in the first one. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember him. And then just walk on the set.
Can they please just make another season of Mindhunter so he didn't have to do this movie? Because I really want more Mindhunter.
Look, I feel like if you got offered a role in a new Matrix movie and you've checked that Keanu's going to be in it, then it's going to like sound like not a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
From an actor's perspective.
It does not feel like his lane at all.
No, it really didn't feel like his lane. But, you know, maybe he wants to diversify what his lane is.
How do we feel about Neil Patrick Harris's terrible slow-mo time instead of bullet time that he had, which is just his ability to just fucking do nothing?
I was less out, like, what's wrong with him? Why is he lagging? Like,
I was less worried about that it's the opposite to bullet time or whatever it was supposed to be, and more concerned that it was just like an excuse for Exposition City. And I think that a lot of this film was just an excuse for a lot of exposition.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like that great moment where the villain reveals their entire plan. I'm like, oh, everything has to be in slow motion to give him more time to say this.
Yeah.
But why wasn't it explained that he was just a new reskin of the architect? Like, I mean,
was that
come
who
on.
He was meant to be?
No, he was a totally different thing who, you know, like, basically has... But the stupidest thing about that, he's still a programmer who has bosses. And those bosses are people that he has to answer to. And we still never got to see the boss apart from the fact that it was a giant weird baby face from the fucking third film.
But it was like, interesting that, you know, he was even an antagonist for Agent Smith.
That confused me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's because I can't remember the third movie very well.
Well, yeah. Smith and also like managed to break his programming and go rogue, but at the same time, did he? I don't know.
I mean, they could have gone harder with that narrative, and it's like, oh, let's have Agent Smith and Neo team up, and they have to fight this guy to save the Matrix or whatever their prerogative is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say this is definitely not something that's going to bring new audience to the franchise because it does not make any sense without prior knowledge of these things, and I was still texting you guys,
even with
being
the help
like, what
of
are
the spliced
exiles?
Old footage.
Yes, Dion, what are the fucking exiles?
I was so confused.
What do you mean you don't know who the Exiles are? The Exiles were perfectly well explained in the in Matrix Reloaded.
As the Merovingian in a bad Wigan makeup went, oh, we're doing French, blah. And I was like,
it was Mulder and Scully. Oh, wait, that was the X-Files.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Fuck you guys. No, it was Bruce Spence in a bad wig and bad teeth. He was the train rat. No, the Exiles. The Exiles were.
Who was that guy?
The Exiles are programs that were that the Matrix tried to have around that were too powerful or just served a purpose, or they're notoriously hard to kill, so they weren't working. But they're basically like all the werewolves, all of the vampires, everything like that were Exiles, like the ghosts, the twins. So the Exiles are just people who were no longer useful to the Matrix that just kind of got cast out into program land. And they stuck around, and that's how you get all these things. Oh, fuck if I know. Like, they're just trying to write shit in, you know? Vampires are actually old programs. Done.
You know? Yeah. Did anyone else get, like, a slightly kind of Good Place vibe from Neil Patrick Harris's architect? You know, he's building his, like, own version of the world to keep the humans in?
Yeah, kind of, but it's also...
I wasn't paying attention by the end.
I mean, I like that they explained at least the part where they, you know, the reason that it took them 100 years or whatever, however, 60 years to do it is because they did actually blow up, and it was really hard for them to find enough genetic material to regrow them and, like, get their brainwave patterns and all that kind of stuff and put it together. And especially if they kept experimenting like that, and when they let them touch, they'd blow shit up, and it was just like, okay, fine.
And that gets back into butt wire territory for me, because I never understood how Neo's powers translated to the world outside of the Matrix, because it was just never explained and doesn't make sense. And yeah, physics. It makes perfect sense inside the Matrix, because the Matrix is a program, and he has a special ability to work within that program in a way that the others can't. But in the real physical world, I just don't understand it.
Because
so what their proximity has to do with anything is a massive mystery to me.
Peter, everything is connected. Like,
is it
a human body that can affect the construct world, and you know, as he found out, he's actually, you know, a construct idea can affect the real world, because it's all connected, because all the robots have to receive signals, and he's a master of signals, and that's how he can do things in the real. I don't fucking know. It's the Force. He's got a lot of midichlorians.
In that first film, I had no huge problem, or in that first trilogy, whatever, I had no huge problem with Neo being able to affect shit, because if the guy is essentially a super user and has full admin access to the internet, which is the Matrix, and has a Wi-Fi connection, which he seems to have now gotten into his brain, there's no reason at all why he can't log into the things that are following him and tell them to shut down. Like, that's my explanation for why he has powers in the real world.
Yeah. But trying to explain
why
he has...
The powers that he was using?
Well, in the... Like, he could shut down Sentinels. That was about all he could do, wasn't it?
Really? I thought it was more telekinesis than that, but I could be remembering it wrong.
It's fine, but remember that Smith also downloaded himself, a copy of himself, into a human body, so it goes both ways.
Right.
Okay. One idea that was interesting that I wish they'd maybe done more with was the ability for programs from the Matrix, a la fucking Lawrence Fishburne, not Lawrence
Morpheus.
Fishburne. Morpheus, that guy, him. As things made up of tiny beads.
Yeah, that other thing that they introduced.
I was like, okay, that's vaguely interesting. I thought it was interesting that they now had machines that were on their side, and they were trying to, you know, free from the bonds of the Matrix. If you're going to do something that follows on from the end of that last trilogy, 60 years in the future, talk about how now humans and machines are living together and trying to understand each other. You know,
it kind of feels like, oh, the pop-up ads are our pets now. Like.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So what I really didn't understand, though, to that was the end of the film, or where the film actually went, because I agree with you that, like, that thing that was interesting. You know, some of the machines are on their side and part of the resistance. I don't understand really the end where, like, superpowered Neo and superpowered Trinity go back into the Matrix to beat on Neil Patrick Harris a little bit. And then they're like, we're just going to rebuild this world. And like, no, no, no. The point is that you want to free humankind outside of the Matrix. Why are you just rebuilding the world in the Matrix and flying around? Like, I don't.
So that we can be happy batteries. It's like the whole concept of why they are trying to free people from the Matrix, because people are essentially being consumed by a system that they don't understand, capitalism, is a perfectly interesting and cool sort of story. But if you don't do that, if you just leave people in the Matrix as happy batteries, what are we saying here? Maybe. Simulation is actually better. Don't ask questions. Go back to your fucking
Well,
cheerful.
That was like the character from the first one who was like, I know that it's not real, but it tastes fucking good.
Yeah.
All I want is steak. I want you to chemically hit my brain with all the things I want until I become useless and can't create any more energy. And honestly, as we have seen in the current pandemic, there's a lot of people out there who would be totally like, plug me in. I'm happy to not worry about everything.
Was I reading that right at the end? Like, that was their end game? They're just going to now rebuild the Matrix the way they want to rebuild the Matrix so that the batteries are happier?
I don't know. I don't know what they're fucking trying to do, because there seems to be a couple of different stories. Like, there was the one with Niobe City, fucking whatever was going on there, where they had successfully grown a strawberry. Amazing. Thank God they can finally grow a strawberry. And that was the start of where they're going to go. Or there was that thing at the end where they stopped Neil Patrick Harris's slow-mo dude from completing his mission of keeping Neo in the Matrix.
Like Neo and Trinity keeping them in the Matrix
just
close to each other.
Enough, but, you know, don't...
Yeah, no, it kind of ruined the whole thing about
that whole magnetic thing. You know, you can't have it too, because if it touches, they just click and the charge goes.
If I had have explained that it made them some sort of superconductor and it was a really great source of energy and could power the planet, and that was.
But I think that was the idea, because they didn't want Neo and Trinity to be separated, which is why the architect made all of the mistakes that he did.
But wouldn't that fuck stuff up as soon as they pull Matrix, like Neo, out of the Matrix, and they're like, oh shit, the main battery's gone down. Like, warning, you know.
I still feel like it weirds me out that they're doing things on such a small scale. Like, this supposed savior of all of humanity and perhaps all of the machines as well is still only dealing with like a kind of pissant little Neil Patrick Harris program. And when they tried to do stuff on a grander scale, maybe that's where it all lost its shit. I don't know. But I mean, I think there's a lot to be mined from it if anyone can be fucked. I can't.
Yeah, like as I said, written by, it felt like, you know, good ideas that were somewhat poorly executed because they hadn't been logic bombed enough. It's like, but why would this happen? Like, yeah, they need Peter. This is your calling in life.
I needed to be in that room.
You've got to go to Hollywood and just stand there and go, but why?
But why?
But why? You know,
I'll just be in the corner, just periodically.
Well, you should just read scripts and have a big red stamp that just like this part. But why? Like, you know,
but why?
Don't know why.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
I like that, as Tari is putting it. The more you think about it, the less it makes sense.
That's pretty much
the film.
Like, there were a lot of parts that I fucking hated about this. Like, I didn't give a shit about the fact that it needed zombies. So, like, you know,
fuck, I hated the zombies.
It already had a swarm. Like the swarm in the real world were the tentacle like machines that were hunting down the humans, which were a scary thing. And then they kind of disappeared. They were mentioned there, but they were disappeared. And then they just replicated that swarm in the computer world, which meant that a whole bunch of humans became zombies. So did that actually happen? Did they just, did all their batteries in one tower just die as they got like subverted by the programming? Like, why would anyone try and escape from the Matrix if the Matrix can just turn them on and off at whim? Like, see, these are the things. But why?
I also didn't understand the whole to free Trinity, she had to be somehow plugged into Bugs for a bit moment. Like, I tried really hard to understand it and I couldn't quite figure it out at all. I don't know, like, you guys could shed any light on it.
I don't think we need to.
Okay.
Providing
clarity. Because that seemed like a reasonably, you know, big part of that end fight scene.
Providing clarity.
I think it was, it was something to give the character, the actor who played Bugs, something more to do, because she became entirely fucking superfluous to 90% of the plot.
Yeah. I can't respray a 1979 120Y Datsun and tell you it's a sports car.
Oh, actually, so, that is something I do want to find. What? I want to find what fell.
A 120Y Datsun?
No, I don't know fuck about a 120Y Datsun.
I feel bad for the girl that played Bugs. I don't know what her.
Because she was in Iron Fist.
She was in Iron Fist. She was Colleen Wing, and she was also very much underplayed in that series as well. You know, fucking Iron Fist, it would have been way better show.
God, yes.
Did we enjoy the fighting and the action scenes? Because I got to say, I was pretty underwhelmed by them.
I made the statement that it was shit.
Right. Well, okay. I mean, like, I love.
I'm sorry, have we not been listening to Jill?
I love that.
Why are we rehashing this?
We went from Neo, who could float around and do all sorts of stuff and basically fight
Neo
in mid-air.
Neo was just like, no.
But now he's just got force pushing people. Enough. He's like, I've got a force field. I've just got a force field. It's like,
just stop. Just stop.
He did stop. Like, you know, he did the John Wick. Like, John Wick is great. And then they just totally did something
just
different.
Yeah.
I was like,
don't make this movie. Just go back to making John Wick 4. Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. I found the quote that our lovely producer, Fel, said. And I really liked it because this is a very interesting and clever thing that she posted. And then I went, is that your review? And she's like, yep.
Oh,
okay, so this is from, I think, the real
Tom Stoppard.
Yeah. Henry brandishes a cricket bat. This thing here, which looks like a wooden club, is actually several pieces of particular wood cunningly put together in a certain way so that the whole thing is sprung like a dance floor. It's for hitting cricket balls with. And if you get it right, the cricket ball will travel 200 yards in 4 seconds and all you've done is give it a knock. Like knocking the top off a bottle of stout, and it makes a noise like a trout taking a fly. What we're trying to do is write cricket bats so that when we throw up the idea and give it a little knock, it might travel. So then he picks up a script. Now, what we've got here is a lump of wood of roughly the same shape trying to be a cricket bat. And if you hit a ball with it, the ball will travel about 10 feet and you'll drop the bat and dance about going, ow, with your hands and you'll stick them into your armpit. This is the thing. The first one was a fucking cricket bat. It was cunningly made. It was sprung. Shit hit that and it sounded amazing and it went for fucking miles. Mm-hmm. This is a lump of wood. Yeah. Not even a particularly well-carved lump of wood.
It's just a 2x4.
Opened with that, we could have wrapped this up 45 minutes ago.
Yes, absolutely.
But we had fun concordantly.
Vis-a-vis.
Fuck off.
What do you mean, Jill?
How do I get out of this simulation?
Someone get me out of this chicken shit outfit. You've got to take the pills.
I know.
Oh, dear.
A couple of people have mentioned Cyberpunk 2077, where Keanu Reeves plays the same dude.
Yeah.
Johnny Silverhand, I'd prefer that, thanks.
Well, fuck it, Johnny Mnemonic, if you're going to go all the way back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, there's a cyberpunk guy, and that is Keanu Reeves. Do you want to see another Matrix movie? I don't think anyone is looking forward to it. Although, would you like to see Lily Wachowski's version? I would watch Lily Wachowski's version just out of curiosity, out of sheer, like, what the fuck is going on?
I'd watch it, but I'd be thinking of Wilma.
Weird. All right. Yeah. I cannot obviously, you can make your own opinion if you liked it or if you want to, I can't recommend it to anyone. No. If you want to go see it, sure. Have a crack at it. It's going to be interesting. In a few of those moments, you'll be like, hey, I remember that. But I can't really recommend it to anyone.
Right. Okay, so a little bit of an update on what's happening for the rest of the month.
Yes.
Because people have been asking.
Yes. Usually we put a schedule out and now people expect it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's so 2021.
I didn't want to say it, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
2022 is this whole back to the original formula of like,
back to formula?
Yeah. No homework. You don't know. What you have to do is consume every piece of media available in the off chance that we decide we're going to review it on a Tuesday and we won't even tell you.
Yes.
Yeah. We haven't actually. We've been really busy. We're still struggling with this plague, which yep. we're having
making
no
making a schedule.
We've got no guidance from the government about what we're supposed to do.
We do have a draft, sure but
go. Yeah, we've got a draft.
I think the main thing to flag at the moment is we're going to be taking a little bit of a break on Fridays just for January.
We're easing in slowly.
Ease in, yeah. Nobody move. Everyone go real slow into 2022.
So, Casper has raised one there. Ooh. That I think is definitely going to be on the potential list.
Potentially. There was also a very big season 2 of something came out over Christmas, which we should probably look at.
Bridgerton?
Oh, yeah.
Bridgerton.
Oh, no, we're still waiting for the season till Bridgerton's drop.
Yeah, it's not till Feb.
Yeah.
Right, sorry.
There's a lot there, a lot of television. So watch TV.
Yeah,
like that's my advice. Watch TV.
And also due to a scheduling conflict that I'm not entirely sure whether is going to happen or not on Friday nights. Normally, we would be doing Animates on the last Friday of the month. At the moment, I am booked in to be either in a play or at a comedy show on both Fridays of
Wait,
the last.
You're in a play? Who are you playing?
No, watching.
Oh.
However. There is as good a chance as not that neither of these things will fucking happen because currently we're in the world of, So, yeah, there will be a schedule out, but at the moment Fridays are now yours again and ours again for the month of January, and then we will be...
We'll be...
I just saw Chester
we're doing Angela. The fucking Witcher, okay?
And as an extra special treat, we'll also schedule out February as well. So you can get January and the rest of January. Yes. I mean, there's not much longer to go. Come on, guys. You've got Australia Day to keep you occupied. Jesus, leave us alone.
Yay, Invasion Day. Woo. Keep an eye out. And who knows if we go back into lockdown again? I've got some fucking Lego to build. So who knows what the fuck's going to happen?
Please, no. My wallet has not recovered from the last...
Don't mention Lego. The L word.
Not the please. not the L word around here.
I'm sorry.
I'm keen for more Lego, but okay.
Lego is the good L word. The other one is not.
Yeah, it's just about
lesbians.
Me buying Lego is not going to happen. So if anyone wants to donate Lego, I'm happy to build it. But I am still paying off the other Lego.
How'd your lighting kits go? Do you still need some help?
Yes, I have not done any more lighting on the Mos Eisley. Like, I look there like it's something everyone can see. But like,
are you in Quinny's room?
Name a franchise and I'll see if I can pick something up with it. No, I have. I haven't
done any more.
The Matrix,
go on.
The Matrix.
What's Gossip Girl Day? What's that mean?
Oh.
That's
yes.
Druidic, please explain. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the moment, The Kingsman is not on our list because it's currently only in cinemas.
Yes, like there is opportunity to see both Nightmare Alley and The Kingsman, but I don't know how many of us are actually
Nightmare
willing
Alley
to sit.
Is bad.
I don't know how many people are willing to sit in a crowded room with people just to get the moment.
Nah.
Yeah, a lot of us would be like, not going to do that. Risk reward ratio is not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we'll do probably a bit of TV and hopefully something else.
Yeah.
And
anyway, we've got Arcane on the list. We've got Witcher on the list. We've got Cobra Kai Season 4 on the list. Firebite on the list. We've got...
Fuck, there's so much out there. There's a lot of...
Peacemaker on the list.
That shit.
You have stuff to look forward to, and don't worry, we've got you covered. We're going to do everything you're asking for because we love to serve.
Maybe not everything they're asking.
We even watched The Matrix for you.
We even watched The Matrix. Don't say I don't do anything nice for you guys.
I honestly, like, honestly, I will put my hand up and say I'm guilty of, like, hey, we should do The Matrix. And then everyone's like, oh, do I have to? I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then, again, another one of those pieces of content where everyone looks at me and is like, really, dude? Really?
Oh, okay. So I've just learnt that January 26th in New York is declared Gossip Girl Day. So I'll be celebrating that from now on.
Yeah, sure. Nice.
Yeah. What about Emily in Paris Day? When's that?
Oh, fuck, don't start me on that.
Like, don't even. Don't even.
Oh, look, I mean, you guys...
Pete, let's just do another hate bang and, like, say...
Can you stop
feeding... I fucking hate Emily in Paris, and this is the reasons why.
Can you stop feeding into fell stuff? Because currently she's watching through Felicity, the television show, and I'm dying.
Okay, that's my fault. That's on me. That's on me. I'm also rewatching Felicity, the TV show, and I could say some positive things about it, to be honest.
I stood there and went, is that Scott Speedman? And I'm like, no, it's Scott Foley. And I'm like, wait, there's two? No,
there's both of them. Both Scott Speedman and Scott Foley.
The one positive thing that came from Felicity was Jennifer Garner.
Maybe. Sure.
Oy, bless us.
Not the pink Power Ranger?
No.
Oh. Oh, look, I don't know. Oh, thank you, everyone in the chat. It's nice to see you all again.
Happy 2022 again. It's always lovely to see you.
Yeah.
This is our second show back.
Yeah, oh, yeah, true. Good point. About the other one. Sorry.
Yeah, we did do another one, but it's
a weird time.
Yeah, look, we'll get
out. Oh, no. Two more seasons of Emily in Paris.
I'm looking to hit my stride into this year around May. Anytime before that, just kind of give it a bit of like, yeah, they'll get it. They'll get there.
I'm writing off January because next weekend I'm getting my booster shot and it's like nothing is happening until I do that.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, that'll give you plenty of time to look at Casper's selection of going to Stargate TV series. Holy shit. There's enough there to keep you occupied.
I give you the thing of try and find Stargate, the animated series. Come on.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Also, I will say that, yes, we still have to do Book of Boba Fett because I have opinions.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I don't know why we haven't addressed that yet.
No, it's
put it on the list.
I'll put it on a Friday. I'll do 3 hours and you guys don't have to turn up. I'll just be there myself.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, like, I'm going to rename every episode of
Dear Internet.
Book of Boba Fett. Episode 1, I'm renaming to Bob's Bad Day. Episode 2, Bob's Bad Trip. Episode 3.
Didn't you get it? It was a metaphor for Lawrence of Arabia. It's like, yes, everyone got that.
I've seen Lawrence of Arabia. It was very distant. There was no Empire train in Lawrence of Arabia.
I don't understand why I haven't been snorting lizards. If that's the sort of shit that's going to happen to me.
Yeah, I don't remember Lawrence doing that.
No, none of that.
Yeah, down for it. Well, should we... thanks for joining us, everyone. We're going to go. Quinny, have you got anyone to raid?
Let's... Do you want Coop Tato or the Bedroom Gay? Let's...
You choose. Dealer's choice.
Let's go... I mean, we can go and do... Let's go to Barjo. We love Barjo. Is it? Oh, then let's go and raid Coop Tato. I'm sorry, I didn't know that they were somebody that we knew, so that is a lovely thing to do.
Yeah. There's going to be music over the stuff.
Yeah,
it's on the podcast.
Absolutely.
I've already faded out by now. You know, it's going to be real smooth, seamless transition.
So good.
Everyone's just going to be like, wow, that's really good. But, you know, YouTube.
But for now, let's go and raid. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.